for you. We're going to start the April FNC office hour calls where we get to learn more about an important nutrient. I'm sure you've all heard about zinc. And we're really going to go deep diving on zinc here with Annette. And so she'll do her presentation and then leave time for questions afterwards.
Okay.
Take it away.
Okay. Get into my... Let's actually hit the share button. So you can see that. Zinc, we need it. Great. Thanks. So it's great to be here. It's been a while since I've gotten to speak in front of this group. I thought I knew a lot about zinc, you know, because I've been studying for years, but turns out I don't know as much as I thought I did. Let me get that out of the way. Okay. Slides aren't cooperating. Okay, disclaimer, you guys know I have to do this. The information in this presentation, you know, I'm not trying to replace your doctor, what you do with Dr. Rita Marie or another doctor or your coach. You know, it's just sharing knowledge that I've learned along the way, especially, like I said, in these last few weeks where I've been studying up on zinc. And today, Dr. Mercola was nice enough to send me a newsletter all about zinc. So I did incorporate some of his info in the slides. My qualifications, some of you know this. And I absolutely realized I left out gluten practitioner, so I'll have to go back and add that one also. My qualifications, these are my qualifications with Dr. Rita Marie. So I'm in the NEPT program. As some of you know, I'm an ERC coach, and I see a couple of my people out there. Hi, good to see you. Thanks for the support. And I'm also doing a sweet spot coaching again. So zinc, what is it? It is an essential trace mineral. That means we have to have it. We do not make it. Trace means we just need a small amount. We don't need to take a whole bottle or massive doses, just a little on a regular basis. Zinc is found in all of our tissues and organs, okay? So just if you're consuming it regularly in food or maybe you supplement, that's probably really all you're going to need. Zinc, like I said, is found throughout our body, but it is mostly found in bone, liver, kidney, muscle, and skin. So you can see it's a pretty important mineral because it's in so many different. Well, like I said, it's in everything. We need it. Just some facts about zinc and how deficient people tend to be. You know, there's a large population that's deficient. And the thought is, what they're finding is that the deficiency is possibly from not consuming enough zinc-rich foods. Also, our soil is depleted. Our food just doesn't have the nutrients that it used to have before chemical farming took over and we stripped away the top soil and everything's just run amok. Zinc deficiency can also be due to poor chemical pathways within, some of us. So then we're going to go into some of the signs that you might be deficient. So here's one I didn't know. Depression. Depression can be, I heard someone gasp. Depression can be a zinc deficiency. I know if I was depressed, I would much rather try some zinc, upping my zinc, before I went on an antidepressant. And it would be nice if our medical establishment could try to address the zinc deficiency before they wrote a prescription. This slide came from Dr. Jocker's site. And it's just a nice kind of roundup of some of the indications of possible zinc deficiency. When they say unusual hair loss, that means an unusual hair loss where there is no explanation. So like when my daughter spent those 3 weeks in the hospital, she came home and she left a trail of hair. And I'm not exaggerating. She left clumps behind her. And I would pick them up and throw them away. That was an explained hair loss. That was from the stress and the trauma of the illness and then the medications that she was on. So if for some, if you don't, all of a sudden you're losing hair and there's no reason, you might want to think, wow, maybe that's a hair loss. The part about the memory, that has to do with when you have poor memory, we have some inflammation going on. So zinc will bring that inflammation down, and that's why it can help with memory, because it's helping remove all that inflammation that some of us have. Zinc and T helper cells. T helper cells, as they're being born, need zinc or they're not going to form properly. And they're created in our thymus, and you know, we need them. That's a large part of our immune system. So you want to make sure you're getting the zinc in there so that you can support your T helper cells, because we want a strong, strong immune system, but not so strong that it's attacking self. And the inflammation that's created in the body when you don't have these T helper cells formed properly, that kind of sets the stage for autoimmune issues. So we want to avoid those. Low levels of zinc can impact night vision. I thought it was just that I was getting old. I used to like to drive at night. I would still prefer it. There's less cars on the road, but I don't see as well as I used to. So again, you know, a simple fix, just upping my zinc. So, and I've increased my zinc again since I started preparing for this. Zinc is also taken for cataracts and macular degeneration. So you'll see it in a lot of vision support combos. As we get older, you know, it's like I said, it's just an age thing. And we'll get into some more things that happen when we age that impact your zinc levels. So other signs of deficiency, loss of sleep. I didn't know that. It's real big for skin issues, rheumatoid arthritis. That old lady could be my grandmother. Wish I had known then that, hey, try some zinc and that might help. It would have been, like, she took, you know, 20, 30 meds a day to manage her RA, and zinc could have maybe cut that in half for her. Dandruff, for no other reason, if it's not explainable, that's also could possibly be a sign of zinc deficiency. Here's another one I didn't know. Morning sickness, that can be a sign of zinc deficiency. So I had morning sickness for the first 5 months of my pregnancy, and I would have loved to have popped a zinc pill every now and then to have avoided that. And when mom is low in zinc, she passes that on to the baby, and that can be passed down for 4 generations. And Dr. Rita Marie was telling me that, and it reminded me of Pottinger's cats. I don't know if you know who Dr. Pottinger is. He was studying feeding habits in cats and different diets. And if you want, I'm not going to go into great detail, but he had the cats that were eating close to their natural diet. So it was raw meat and whatever else they eat. And then he had a group where they ate all processed foods. Like he even gave them condensed milk. And within like the first or second generations, the cats on the standard American diet, so to speak, they were sickly. When those sick mamas were put on the raw food, it took 4 generations for the damage to be corrected and for the babies to be healthy again. So I just found that 4-generation thing to be interesting, that little link there. Craving for salt can be a sign of zinc deficiency. So next time I need salt, you know, I might just go and have some zinc instead, see if that works. And I know when I do the liquid zinc, that does have a salty taste to me. So here's the slide I wasn't even going to put in, but I was encouraged to. Zinc is significantly reduced in smokers. Cigarettes have cadmium in them, and cadmium are a known carcinogen. Zinc might protect against the cadmium, and it also might help prevent against the DNA damage that's done by cigarettes. So, you know, quit. It's a lot better to quit. I know when, okay, I used to smoke, full disclosure. I smoked for about 7 or 8 years. I was up to a pack a day. That top picture, I can taste cigarettes when I just look at that picture. And just reminds me how happy I am that I did quit for good a long time ago.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Sure.
Will secondhand smoke have a similar effect on people?
You know, I didn't see anything about that, but it would make sense that it would to a lesser degree because you're still breathing that cadmium in, just not at the same level.
Right. Well, I have a son that smokes, and you were talking about taste.
Yeah.
And even though he says he smokes outside, I can, you said the taste, and it's like, I can, and I have never smoked a cigarette in my life. It just never occurred to me to do that. And
so you're smarter than me.
I can tell you. I just said cigarettes. Anyway, I just can taste it. Just, so I was, it, yeah.
I've noticed I can taste food that's cooked by people that smoke. Because people, I don't care how much you wash your hands, you still have that smell. And if they cook my food, even like in a restaurant, my daughter and I don't even remember where it was, but I was like, ew. And she's like, what? And I said, whoever cooked our food smoked cigarettes. And she's like, how do you know? I'm like, I can taste it. It's gross. So, you know, we're still, yeah, it's still out there. And I don't know why vaping is okay, but I don't know what's in those, but that's a different topic. But great question though. Okay. So this is again, Dr. Jockers. You can tell I found his information useful. Loved this slide. Why are we zinc deficient? Well, some of us have leaky gut and digestive disorders. And you know how I know that? Because we're here. We're here to get help. We want Dr. Rita Marie to help us feel better. Some of your medications can block the absorption. So if you have to take some of these things, take them away from your zinc. Of course, the blood sugar imbalance speaks to me a lot, and it's kind of timely since we're getting to start sweet spot again. And then this also, another reason we're deficient, of course, goes back to the poor soil we have these days. So why do we need the zinc? It's, you know, we've just basically said it. It supports our immune system. It's an antioxidant. It prevents diarrhea. There was, and I can't remember if it was Bangladesh or India, a lot of children had diarrhea, so they started giving them zinc, and the diarrhea went away. So I figure if I ever get diarrhea again, and it's not from food poisoning, from someone eating my food with cigarettes on their hands, I'm going to try zinc, see how, if it works at all, or if it works for me. It's also really good at promoting wound healing. But you can overdo zinc, and you don't want to. So if you take too much zinc, you're going to get a metallic taste in your mouth. Think about if you've done the liquid zinc test. You know the taste I'm talking about. If you remember, there was a commercial a long time ago, and the guy would get bitter beer face. I think it should be bitter zinc face. Because if you watch people take the test, that's the look they get. It can also make you nauseous. So I'm working on this presentation, and I'm learning about zinc, and I popped a couple zinc tablets, and then I thought, well, was that enough? And I went and foolishly grabbed my bottle of liquid zinc and chugged a good, I don't know, quarter of it. And almost instantly, I was nauseous, but I also had a headache. So for me, I'll get a headache thing going on. It can also cause a copper deficiency, and we need zinc, and we need copper, and we need that, them to stay in ratio, because if not, it's going to cause some other problems if we don't keep those balanced. So this is a handout, and Lynn has it. I'll admit I didn't read the email long enough to see if it was on there. I was showing this.
No, slide. I'm having a difficult time getting it, but we will have it, and it will be a part of the recording, and this is great.
Yeah, it's such an easy little cheat, and yours won't have circles around the zinc. I gave Lynn a plain one. And it won't have those weird wandering dots around his legs. I don't know when I did that. Still learning how to use the PowerPoint well. So anyway, it's a quick little cheat. It doesn't have everything on there. You just can't get it on there. You know, I only found a few things, and we know it's way more than that. And then when you look at the copper, look, copper also fights infection, and it also supports lung function. So, you know, you got to keep, again, it's back to keeping those two in balance. Okay, so what's zinc good for? What are some of the other things it's good for? It's really good for mouth health. Anything that's going on in your mouth. And when you do it in your mouth, they citrate is the preferred form of zinc. And if it's in toothpaste, they claim it could help clear up plaque and gingivitis. You can use zinc gum or candy to freshen your breath. And they're saying that the zinc might also help strengthen the tooth enamel, which is going to lead to fewer cavities, which also goes back to reducing the plaque on your teeth. So it's good for our teeth. It's also good for heart health and blood vessels. And we all want good heart health and a good circulatory system so that we can keep on going and, you know, complete our why and get things done that we came here to do. Okay, so yeah, I can't leave diabetes out, sorry. Zinc and diabetes. Zinc is good for supporting and healing diuretic neuropathy, diabetic. Foot ulcers. And what I read on foot ulcers was you can take it orally or topically. And they were talking about making it into a paste, but I couldn't find the recipe they were talking about. But I would imagine any, maybe a comfrey and zinc would be good. Zinc can also help you reduce your blood glucose. And again, good thing to keep in mind as we're moving in to sweet spot. Zinc is good for surgery. You take it before and you take it after, and it's been found to speed up recovery time. It reduces complications. People have less wound infections when they use zinc before and after surgery. We need hydrochloric acid to digest the zinc, but you got to have zinc to produce hydrochloric acid. A little bit of a conundrum there. So you've got to be working on both, which you're doing, you know, when you take your bitters. Whatever digestive supports you're doing to help build. If you're drinking apple cider vinegar, it's going to build up your hydrochloric acid to help you break down and digest that zinc. And then as you get more zinc, it's going to support your production of hydrochloric acid. As we age, we just naturally make less hydrochloric acid. If you hear people say, I've lost the taste for red meat, I used to love a big steak, and now I can't digest it. That's because they're making less of this hydrochloric acid. So again, maybe a little zinc, a little apple cider vinegar, they might get that taste back that they've lost. Food sources of zinc. Cashews are a really good food source for zinc. Remember, we don't store zinc. That's why it's essential, and we have to make it a part of our regular diet. And there's a number of food sources of zinc. So that salmon, wild caught, not farmed. You've got different seeds and plants. I didn't really realize mushrooms was a good source. Maybe that's why I craved them. Plant sources do have zinc, but not as high as animal products do. Meats have your most zinc in them. And the plant zinc is a little bit harder for us to absorb than it is from animal products. The food that has the absolute most amount of zinc in it is oysters. I'm not a fan, never have been, don't like them, but they are absolutely, bar none, the highest source of zinc in a food. It didn't matter what chart I looked at, they were always first. Second place flipped around between like grass-fed beef and lamb and liver. And then one chart said ginger root was the second highest source. So, you know, depends on, I guess, who's doing who's checking it out, breaking it down. Analyzing was the word I was looking for. Cooking can make zinc unavailable for absorption. Now, if you eat meat, I am not saying eat it raw. Cook the meat. Please cook the meat. But like, look at those mushrooms. Mushrooms are a good plant source of zinc, and they say it's the browning effect. So if you're wanting a cooked mushroom, fine. But if you're wanting that mushroom for the zinc, take it off the grill. Put it in the salad. Just have it there on the side as some, as a pleasant little snack. Some foods inhibit the absorption of zinc. So there's your berries, and they're healthy and they're good, and we're supposed to eat them, for me, in moderation. I think I shared with many of you, I can't do a bunch of blueberries, even though I like them. But they will, so don't eat berries and mushrooms, or don't eat your berries and your pumpkin seeds together if you want the zinc, because it's not going to happen. Foods with oxalates, your Swiss chard, your spinaches, those will also inhibit your absorption of the zinc. Tannins in tea and coffee will block that absorption also. And chocolate will. So chocolate, if you're having cacao powder, it's fine. But if you're sitting down and eating chocolate, it's, again, no, it's going to block that. So grains and wheat are good sources of, good plant sources of zinc, except that they have phytates. And the phytates, again, are going to block that absorption. And I know a lot of us in the program with Dr. Reed Marie, we don't even do grains anymore. You know, I'm gluten-free. I'm pretty much grain-free once I learned that brown rice spikes my blood sugar. So some of us don't even eat these foods, but you might be having family that does. And in Dr. Mercola's newsletter today, he talked about getting the zinc out of these foods. So he said the best thing to do, and you guys know this again, is to soak them. You soak your beans, you soak your grains if you're going to have them. And he didn't back this up. So I'm just sharing what he said on his video today. The best way to soak them is for 3 hours at 140 degrees. He said going higher or longer doesn't matter, but it needs to be 140 degrees for the 3 hours. And then if you sprout them, which you guys know, if you go on and sprout them, that will reduce the phytate level by about 50% so that you will get more, you'll be able to absorb more of the zinc that's in those foods. Calcium and zinc, this can be a problem. This is another one of those things I just didn't even ever think about. Some calcium blocks the absorption of zinc and some doesn't. So calcium carbonate and calcium citrate are fine. They're not going to affect the absorption of your zinc. But milk, calcium phosphatate, and calcium carbonate can decrease your zinc absorption. So, you know, if you're doing dairy products, and I think most of us aren't, or we've cut way back, just be aware you might not get your zinc if you're having it with some of the calcium products. Zinc in a nasal spray, you should probably avoid. You know, it was popular a few years ago to go out and buy that zinc nasal spray when you had a cold, and then people started reporting loss of smell. Some people, it's gone forever. Some people, you know, their sense of smell came back. There's other ways to get zinc. So, you know, why would you even go this route? You don't need to. How do you know if you're zinc sufficient? Well, there's the liquid taste test. And, you know, you're going to know pretty fast. There are some studies that that test is not true for everybody. My daughter's one of them. Like I said, she, the minute she ingests it, she gets that ugly, bitter zinc face thing going on. But when you run her blood through a blood chemistry, she comes up as zinc deficient. And there's just some people it doesn't absorb right, even when they're taking it orally like she was. So a better way for some people, like for her, we have to do blood work to know how, what her zinc status is. So like, I just did a full comprehensive blood panel with Dr. Alan Hopkins, and he actually runs a zinc test, and it will tell you on there you know, in a number what your zinc level is. You can also, if your doctor doesn't run that test, you can look at the AlkPhos value on your test results, because that's run as part of the liver panel. So it's on pretty much every blood work that I've ever looked at. If the AlkPhos is low, you need to consider, is it a low zinc level? So that's a way to gauge. You can also have a hair analysis done. And some people go that route too. I've done that also. Okay, so let's say you decided you need to supplement. Here it says take zinc 2 hours after meals or first thing in the morning. I can't do it on an empty stomach. If you can, great. So my zinc tends to be more closer to a mealtime. And I'm not really good at being compliant on things, so I actually end up taking mine with food. So I'm not going to absorb as much as somebody who takes it after. Like the zinc to copper ratio, I saw a range of numbers. So 15 to 1, sometimes it was 10 to 1. Taking, and remember, you can't overdo the zinc because then you'll end up with a copper deficiency, and you don't want that either. If you're going to supplement, you know, from Dr. Reed Marie, picolinate's a good one. Like I said earlier, citrate is good if you're going to do it as a toothpaste or a mouthwash. Liquid is good because it's small particles and it's easier for people to absorb. And you want to take your calcium and your zinc apart from each other, other than in a food source. If you're supplementing, take them apart, because like taking antibiotics and probiotics, they kind of negate each other and interfere with the absorption of each. Oh, okay. So I keep talking about too much zinc can cause low levels of copper. Low levels of copper can lead to anemia, an iron anemia, and nobody wants that. You know, nobody wants to feel tired. We want to get up and go out and do things. It can also, it plays a role in neuropathy, and it can lead to numbness in the arms and legs, which again takes you back to your blood sugar issues and the neuropathy. So again, we need them both. Okay, this slide's more for fun because I'm sure you guys all have your real teeth. But if you know someone that wears dentures, the zinc and the adhesive can cause problems. It can actually cause a copper deficiency because there's so much zinc in the paste that you use. And then if you're supplementing on top of that, it can cause real problems. So just if you know someone that wears dentures, you might want to sneak a peek at what they're using and talk to them. Maybe they need, you know, to supplement with copper to overcome that zinc. Copper in food. Again, back to the oysters. So you get your zinc and your copper in the oysters, and you get them in the cashews too. And, you know, like I said, I'm sure that Mother Nature did it in the proper balance so that we get them both. Sunflower seeds are a good source of your copper. Now, in keeping with the copper and zinc theme, which I've fallen into here, pennies. Pennies used to be all copper, and then they started putting more and more zinc in, to the point that now we really don't even have copper in the pennies. There's very little. So, you know, I guess their ratio is off. But that was one of those things that popped up when I was looking for zinc. So to wrap it up, zinc's good for all of us. We need it all the time, all stages of development. Like I said, you know, we need it when, you know, mom's pregnant, and then we need it throughout our life, and we definitely need it as we're aging too. So that's all I have to say about zinc right now. Thank you so much. And I guess at this point, I'll stop my share. I saw that there's been chat, but I haven't been able to see any of it. So thank you.
Yeah, actually, Diane and I were going back and forth about how to amend the soil so that we can make sure it has good zinc status. So if you do have your own garden, make sure to take a soil sample, to your extension agency or whoever does your soil sampling in your area, and they can tell you how much zinc is in there. And they usually, when they give you a report, tell you what you can do to increase any of the nutrition within your soil. But one of the things that we were talking about is you can spray your plants with kelp to help with that. And there's something called a foliar. That really only affects the plant itself, not really as much the soil, but at least you know that your food can have a higher zinc level. And then, of course, doing things like with the composting and whatever to help break it down and have your, just like we have our own HCl, you know, we can do that. That's what the composting is helpful for. What else? And so I do something called biodynamics. I mean, if you haven't heard of it, it is they make these homeopathic preparations. There's like 12 of them. I don't do all of them. There's a group I have to travel like about 4 hours, usually in January, and we go there and we take things like marigold and calendula and different flower plants and different things like that. We actually stuff them in cow horns and then you bury them. And after about a year, then they liquefy. And then you take that, you put it in, you dilute it. And biodynamics has a way of helping you to see when you should spray above or when you should spray below for the best use of the plant and the soil. Anyway, and that's just one of the preparations they do. It's not, I know how to do it, so animals aren't involved. There's different, like larch and birch and different trees that can be used to do this as well. But so I've done it both ways because they also use things like deer bladder and, you know, we have enough roadkill around here that getting rid of deer bladder isn't a problem. But anyway, when I've done it that way.
Cool.
But the idea is to build up the soil so it's healthy. Anyway, so I put a little plug in there for that.
And well, I like the comment. It makes organic look pale.
It does.
I know.
If you've ever eaten anything that was raised biodynamically, you're like, what just happened?
Yeah.
It's like, you can feel the life force in it. And so, yeah, if you... they have, actually the last convention was in Portland this last year in November. And I wasn't able to go because it was the same weekend as Shine. But anyway, so I try to go to those. So, and this is all pertinent because again, like you were saying, if the more we enhance our environment, It's just going to help your own body to increase the absorption.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if we don't get those minerals back in the soil, you know, the food's just, we're not getting what we need out of it. And that leads us back to supplementing.
Yeah.
Which supplementing should just be a bridge. You know, it shouldn't be a lifetime thing.
Exactly. And so Diana's talking about her zinc picolinate. You know, and there's the different forms.
There's many different forms, and you really need to talk to your doctor. I can't say what's the best for you. I don't know your case. I don't know you. So you need to talk to someone that you trust that you've been working with. You know, Dr. McCullough was part of his thing today was pushing his blend of three or four different zincs, but he still had some good information on there.
Yep.
And of course, like I said, it was timely for me.
Yeah. I agree. And you bring up a really great point because we're not just one thing. We're a conglomeration of everything. So, you know, one might work for you, but it's not going to work for somebody else because your body is unique. And yeah. So, and Diana was talking in there about her concern with copper. And copper is not a bad thing. Copper is an essential mineral that we need. Right. And so, you know, but again, too high, it's toxic.
Well, what I had read, and this was a while back, it was if you're taking zinc 7 days a week, 1 day a week, take it for 6 days, and on the seventh day, take the copper.
Because oh, that makes sense. Both,
you know, but you're not getting, and you're taking a break from the zinc that way too. You know,
that makes sense.
And yes, Valerie, I read that too, that zinc and magnesium shouldn't be taken together either, right?
And Sandy was talking about her hair, and there's I was looking up one of my books because I was just talking to somebody else about what goes on with hair and the turning back to its original color. Here it is. Other foods that are good for your hair, and this makes sense with what you're talking about with zinc, are tzatziki, seaweed. And if you can do it, blackstrap molasses and nettles and wheatgrass. And part of that is because they're good for building up your blood, and that's what zinc is a part of. Right? You need it as part of that. But, yeah.
See, I like my gray hair. It doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me. It's just that I know that it's telling me that there could be an imbalance.
See, for me, I did it to myself. My great-grandmother had just beautiful, beautiful silver gold hair. And I would go and visit her every summer with my grandmother until I was like 13 or 14. And I would sit there and be like, I love Nana's hair. I want Nana's hair. I love Nana's hair. I want Nana's hair. So at the age of 21, I had my first gray hair. My wish was answered. So am I zinc deficient? Well, I know for my blood work, I'm not. Doesn't mean I wasn't. But I did this to myself. I think
you asked for it.
I leave it alone.
Yeah, no, it's not. There's nothing wrong with it at all. It's like I said, if you're healthy.
Yeah, and like I said, I called it in. I did it.
So. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. That's right. Exactly. And my mother has been dyeing her hair since she was like in her 30s. So. And then, so Sandy's asking about the iodine liquid zinc. I know Dr. Reed Marie was talking about that. I think it was last week when we were talking about different mineral formulations. So Sandy, is because you're taking that, is that why you think your hair is starting to reverse itself?
Can you unmute Sandy?
Where is she? And there she is. I've unmuted you, Sandy.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Oh, good. Because my laptop totally, I always put it on iPhone and laptop, and the laptop just shut down. So here we are. Okay. Yeah. So I wasn't questioning Eden. I really like it because it's got such pure ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
I was just curious about the connection of taking zinc and having my hair, you know, black. Now, another thing I wonder, I think the reason we have gray hair is because of an overload of toxins. So, now, because my hair, I mean, even more so lately, is having more black. Before, it just started at the under parts. But now I look at it the last few days and I have a lot more black. And black is not my natural color, like a brown or blonde. Right. So I started taking, another thing I wanted to let you know is I started taking zinc because I lost my sense of smell. I mean, taste. I couldn't taste any food at all, hardly. At all. And then my hair was falling out a lot. Not as much since I have been taking this second thyroid medication, which is converting T4 to T3. But anyway, so I added zinc. That's why I did it for those two things. And then also, after I was taking, I remembered my wounds weren't healing. So, you know, all that's really a lot better since I've been taking zinc. And I'm happy about that. But a side effect is this black hair, which is fine. I just wonder about it.
Yeah, Lynn, I am mine too.
Yeah. Well, I can share with you what I know about things like hair falling out and the gray. It fits in with what you're talking about with the zinc, is a lot of it has to do with anxiety, you know, along with the quality of our soil and food. We also have become an extremely stressed out society because we're always being told what to do in order to be perfect. Yeah. And you have to listen to the experts, even though you are your own expert. And so this creates a lot of stress, which affects the hair on your head. It also affects the quality of your blood. And that speaks to what Annette was talking about. So all the nutrients with the zinc and the copper and everything. So that's what I'll say.
Okay. Yeah. My stress level is way reduced the last month or month and a half. I'm doing way, way, way better. But
so
I think it's, I know though, I was hearing Dr. Rita Marie talk about it on a past program, that we have certain patterns from the past and they are still with us now, even if we're less stressed now. And I know that that would be true for me.
So, Sandy, it sounds like vacation did you a lot of good, huh?
Yes, it really did.
A bit stressed.
Yeah, it really did.
Good, good. There's a question on there about how to test copper. I believe that's a hair analysis test.
You can do that. There are other blood tests that you can use. You can, like, with your liver function.
There's a ratio test, I think, Lynn.
Yeah, you can check the level of your protein that binds copper in the blood, your ceruloplasmin. You know, because I did a hair test, and the person I worked with said I really needed to get checked just for copper because I had an issue with copper. And for that, you can do the blood test, checking that with the protein that binds the copper, the ceruloplasmin. But you can also do a urine test to see what's excreted.
I'd like to do a hair mineral test. It's just I'm doing so many other things first. It hasn't happened.
Right.
But I'd like to.
But, you know, you talked about a zinc tally test, right?
And yes. Right.
So, you know, that can help you just with that part. And I was just checking to see with the body bio, too.
Yeah, that's the one I started with.
Because I know Dr. Rita Marie, yeah. They do have that. So Dr. Rita Marie, if you've ever been to any of her Spring Into Vitality conferences in the past, she has these little, and I think she talked about it this last summer too when she just did it as a live stream, but she has these little minerals And it's, the company name is Body, B-O-D-Y, Bio, B-I-O. And one of them is copper. And you can check and see how you react, much like that bitter, that the zinc bitter taste face, to see if that works.
Yeah, I like the Body Bio.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that again and see how I'm doing.
Right. My daughter doesn't, like I said, orally, she tests, she has that instant face. And there is, and I meant to pull her blood work out. There actually is a test to make sure, because you can develop antibodies to zinc, but she doesn't have them. So she should be able to absorb it. But, you know, there's something going on in her, and it just, that oral test just doesn't translate into good zinc in the blood for her. So she has to supplement. And it could just be the diabetes is what's making it out of whack for her, because she needs extra. Like, she has a VDR gene, so she could take 50,000 units of vitamin D, but she may only absorb, you know, 10,000 between the VDR gene and the autoimmunity. So I would imagine in her it has something to do with other health issues.
Yeah, see, and I have the VDR gene too. And living where I do doesn't help, but and one of the things that I was reading this morning, and maybe you mentioned it and I spaced it out. So there's an omega 3 or an essential fatty acid called GLA, gamma linolenic acid, and that's a necessary part of you know, with the essential fatty acids and everything. And I was reading about how there are certain factors that interfere with this metabolism. And I was reading about it for myself because I've been having some issues with fat absorption. And basically what it does is it helps transform it into prostaglandin. Anyway, so among some of the blocking factors was deficiencies of vital nutrients, especially vitamin B3, B6, C, and E, zinc, and magnesium. And I, the older I get and the more my body changes, these, I've been having a harder time with this. And which is why I was reading about it, because my body screamed at me. Right. And so I thought, and I just didn't remember if you'd mentioned it. You may have, and I just didn't hear
it. I did
that.
Not. Okay. I did read about it, and it was just, you know, I can't get
there's
everything.
There's so much, right. There's so much, like you said. And I didn't know that until I read that this morning.
Yeah, there's a lot. You know, I was like, oh, well, it supports your immune system. You get the white spots on your fingernails. That's
bad. You have some pumpkin seeds, you're all good. Yeah,
right.
No.
Right.
And my immune system is really, really shot. Always has been since the moment I was born. But of course, nobody knows that.
Right. Yeah.
And so Diana's wondering about the MTHFR and her B12 numbers. Would that affect the zinc too?
You know, I didn't come across anything about zinc and the MTHFR. Doesn't mean there's not some correlation. But, you know, if you've got some gene issues, you're going to want to support, you know, your immune system somewhat without going crazy. So I would think, you know, putting some zinc in.
Can I pick them up?
No. Sorry. So I was just, you mentioned that, and of course, because this is what I do, there is a little bit of a correlation, or if you have an MTHFR gene mutation, you should be taking, among other things, extra zinc. Where did I see that? Because, like I said, well, and I knew you were going to be talking about that this morning, and then I was reading about that, or this afternoon, and then I was reading about it. It was one of those things, and so I started doing a little more reading. Where did it go? But you, I think it was you. You were talking about, somebody was talking about mercury amalgams, and that can be a part of it. Yeah, you have to make sure you're supplementing with zinc. If you have an MTHFR mutation. Is one of the things, along with your other stuff.
In that genetic detoxification report that Dr. Rita Marie recommends, there is a gene related to zinc absorption. It's the SLC30A8 gene. And that one's yellow in me.
So that just tells you more about that, right?
Yep.
And I just think it goes back to what Annette was talking about, is how we're each individual. And this just goes to show it.
Well, thank you, Diana. You're welcome. So, for most of us, doing the oral test will tell you if you're, like I said, I just think my kid's one of those fluke people. She's my problem child. She's my only child. You know, she's my challenge. Her health challenges are my challenge in life.
She's your greatest teacher, right?
That's right. She is. Yeah. More than I ever wanted to know about diabetes. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, how would we ever know?
I know.
I know I'm really appreciative of you and everybody else, because you bring these things up and it gets me to, you know, study more.
Yeah.
And,
Well, and you get what you need when you need it. So
exactly, you know, the body heals in the areas that it's ready to.
That's right.
There was something else here I was looking at. I think it was, where did it go? It was, oh, no, that's not it. Never mind. But I, you know, when you guys come to these calls and you bring stuff like this up, it shows me how we've empowered you to do this for yourself. And you don't, you read and listen to what we have to share, but you become your own expert for your own body. And that's what we're trying to do more than anything else.
Right.
And, yeah. Of course, I'm sitting here looking.
I know.
If there's anything else I can.
And, you know, if you want to see if the oral test works for you, do it like the day you're getting a couple of days around a blood draw, and then compare it.
Yeah.
Orally, when I took it, I did the bitter zinc phase. But when they ran my blood work, my alk phos was low. So, you know, maybe that test doesn't work for me.
Well, the other thing too is it's, you know, for just one little bottle, it's like $12, $13. That's probably one of the cheapest tests you're going to find. And, you know, so try it and see if it works.
I think for me, it was pretty accurate. Mm-hmm. I don't get instant bitter face. I get it delayed. And according to the blood work, I've got, you know, I'm not low, I'm not high, I'm somewhere in the middle, which correlates for me roughly to be the same as the test. So for me, it worked. Like I said, my kid's just a problem call.
Because she's just, that's such a wonderful combination of things.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Could I make a comment about the genetic stuff?
Please.
Okay. What I've heard, and it may or may not be something that Dr. Rita Marie or anybody else would agree with, but, you know, I mean, I've run my genetics through a number of different reports, including the genetic detoxification. And of course, there's a lot of red and a whole bunch of yellow and less green than I would want. But, okay, so this is, I want to say that Chris Masterjohn said this. He's a biochemist or something like that. He's a scientist. And he said that if you see two greens, that means not so much, oh, you're in the clear, as much as you're in the top 25% of people in terms of being able, your genes being able to handle this. Whereas if you are a yellow, so you're heterozygous, you're in the 50 percentile area. So yeah, maybe you're not the best, but you're not the worst either. And maybe that's not something that you should really have a big freak out about. And then if you have the double reds, the ones we don't want, you are in the lowest 25 percentile, and probably you do need to take notice of that. But I was just wondering, you know, as kind of a little warm up to the fact that we're going to have this really wonderful genetic thing that she's going to do, is, you know, are we freaking out too much about these yellows when maybe we should pay attention to it, but, you know, not expect perfection? Just curious if anyone else has heard that point of view or has reaction to it.
Well, it depends upon your genes how you react to it, huh?
Well, and I've got those COMT positives, so I'm the one going, you know.
Yeah. And that's my feeling about genetics, is it's just a piece of the puzzle. And I differ a little bit from Dr. Rita Marie in that I think we can maybe change them. So I don't think I've ever freaked out over them. Part of why I give them was because my mother had, and her mother both had double mastectomies, and I don't have any of those genes. And the rest of it's just information. It's part of the package. And I can choose to do something about it or not. And that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing with any of the tests we do. If you're going to do any tests or assessments or whatever you choose to do, before you even do that test, what are you going to do? Right? Are you going to look at that? And
Lynn, may I say something about that?
Absolutely. Please.
Thank you. This weekend I was on a couple of webinars. One was with Dr. Jeffrey Bland, and the other one was Dr. Well, I just forgot his name. Anyway, both of these gentlemen were both speaking to the genetic testing that we're doing and how it's become such a thing to get the 23andMe, and everyone wants to know about where they have originated from in the world and all that sort of thing. And what their caution was, that this is a blueprint. it's a blueprint of our genetics, our DNA from our history, our past. And it should not have any more weighting in our perception than we use with our nutrition, our environment, our exercise. It needs to be a blend of all the rest of these, as well as your lab work and everything else. So we don't want to put too much weight on this. It's a nice piece to incorporate in what we're learning, what we're doing. But we must remember that epigenetics is all about our environmental impression on these. So you may not have two reds, but you may have a heart attack because of your environmental considerations, that you have eaten poorly, you have high stress, you may have reds. I think mine was for some urinary problems, and I've never had any issues, nor anyone that I know of in my family. So they may be there as part of our blueprint, but they have to be encouraged to be activated. So take it as a part of the picture. Like Lynn said, it's a piece of the puzzle, and it's not something to be overly concerned about, more curious than anything. Yeah, maybe I'm not really moving as much as I should, and it would be helpful with this information. Maybe I really need to step that up a little bit. So just take it as some very good information.
Exactly. Thank you.
I guess
where did you hear them on?
Pardon me?
Where did you hear them as part of?
The webinar?
Yeah.
Oh, he has some presentation ones here that I sign up for.
Okay.
Because he is in the Seattle area.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and I just sign up for all of those. Dr. Bruce Lipton was the other one. And he has studied, he is the one that really started the study of epigenetics before anybody even knew what it was.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
He's
amazing.
All right. I'll be quiet now. Sorry.
I think someone else was asking.
Yeah, who was talking?
That was me. That was me, because I'm always concerned
with
genetics.
Good.
I guess what I would add to that is, she's right about the epigenetics. You definitely can't give yourself a clean bill of health if you're doing nothing right. You know, if you're eating poorly, if you're not exercising, you're not sleeping, you're not doing all those things, then anything could happen. Doesn't matter what your genes are. But if you are doing those things and you're still have some surprises where you're going, okay, why isn't this resolving? That's where I think maybe it can be a tool for us. And I know in my case, I'm an APOE44, and that is something you absolutely have to pay attention to in very, very great detail, because it impacts over 400 processes in the body if you have it. So you can't, I mean, if you ignore it at your own risk. That said, you know, that's why I'm signed up here, is, you know, I want to tweak these things and make sure that I'm doing the best I can. And if I'm doing the best I can, that's all I can do. And then I can stop worrying, as long as I'm doing my best and making an effort.
All right. You can't change everything. And we don't always activate the genes just because they're there, you know.
True.
So. So anything else?
Sorry.
No, and I really appreciate everybody who's talking about this, because, yeah, there are certain, we do have a blueprint, and some of them may trigger in one way or the other how zinc is activated in our body, along with other cascades of things. But, like Suzanne was saying, or Suze, that so at some point in time you have to rest, and know that you are doing, you know, you are educating yourself, you're paying attention, and you're doing everything you can. And just rest in that and take a breath and just rest. Because otherwise the stress will kill you before any of the genes.
Yep.
All right. Anybody else have any questions or thoughts? You know, this has been great to understand how intrinsic zinc is. It's not just, you know, it's not just white spots on your nails. It's not just something, oh, I'm getting the sniffles, I better take some zinc. There's, you know, just like everything else you're learning here in ERC, it's just another piece of the puzzle to pay attention to.
Yep. Like I said, I learned a lot. There was a lot I didn't know about zinc, so I'm glad I took the little journey.
Me too.
Other than giving myself the headache.
I'm sure there's a pill for that. I'm just kidding.
Probably. But that might block the absorption of the zinc, you know?
That's right. Exactly. Everything else you need.
That's right. Exactly. So.
All right. Well, if nobody else has any questions, I'm sure you all join me in thanking Annette for this really enlightening presentation. And we'll make sure that when the recording is out, it will have the link to the Mineral Man. So you can print that out. And
trying to find where I found that for attribution, but I haven't been able to.
Well, when you shared it with me, you said that there wasn't any. It was like...
It's free to use. But right. You know, it's like if I could find it and know who it was, but I went back to the sites that I used and I just couldn't find them again. So.
Okay. Well, I'll see what I can do.
But like I said, it said free to use. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't want anyone thinking it's mine. He's not mine. I didn't create him. Somebody else did. I didn't create Mineral Man.
That's so funny. I didn't create Mineral Man.
When I studied
homeopathy. He's one of the Avengers, right?
Yeah. When I studied homeopathy, they gave us, it was Trauma Man, and it was like Mineral Man, but it was, you know, with the aches and the cuts and the this, and they would tell you what the remedies were. And then someone expanded it and did Trauma Family. So that's where I got Mineral Man from.
Oh, that's so funny. So I'll see if I find Mineral Man.
And I gave him the name Mineral Man. It was just, you know.
Oh, okay.
That was my name.
Oh, so I looked at Mineral Man, and there's actually a cartoon called Mineral Man and the Quantum King. Just saying. There's also animal vegetable Mineral Man.
Wow. Well, if I find the Trauma Family, I'll share it.
It's a fictional supervillain in DC Comics.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Thanks.
All of our cartoon characters are covered. All right. All right. Well, everybody, I hope you have a wonderful afternoon, and maybe we'll see some of you tomorrow or Wednesday on the Sweet Spot kickoff call.
Look forward to it. Thank you, guys. It was great.
Bye.
Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Bye.